Well, welcome to week two of Embrace the Hate. Hopefully we're on a regular release schedule by the time they hear this. Things have to get approved across different platforms, so last week's episode came out late, but our intended target is Mondays.
That's when the hate really, I think, flows for most people.
Well, it's just you just had a good time for 2 days, and you wake up and you're like, back to this bullshit all over again.
I can't believe this is reality. It's time to kill as many people as possible, or check out this podcast.
channel your inner serial killer by venting through us. That's beautiful.
I think we're saving lives.
If it's possible for any show to do, I would put ours on that list, atop of it.
I've been pushing for about a year and a half now for women in general to start at least giving blowjobs to the creepiest dudes they can find as a means of trying to save lives. And,
you never know which dick could be the one.
I'm just saying, no one is out there murdering people the day after a rando. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the official? I just like you drop that, and you know what I'm saying is if that's like you getting into street lingo, getting hip with the kids.
The kids know about randos.
Randos and, you know what I'm saying? That phrase from 1997. I stay hip with the kids.
Dude, it's catching back on. That's all I can say.
I still got a friend that does that. He's older than us, and he does the when he speaks to black guys, he takes on like the Robin Williams almost patois, like I can relate type of thing. Like, sure. How have you not figured that out?
Blatantly racist.
Well, it's just like, what's up, brother? And you're like, okay, man, what the fuck is this?
Damn, that is a pretty good Robin Williams talking to black dudes impression.
Well, when he does his black guy, his way, hey, man.
Yeah.
And just like he does a junior version of that when he speaks to anybody that's black when I've been around him. I don't know if it's every time.
Yeah. But enough that you've noticed.
Every time. Well, because the first time I was like, okay, maybe it was just a slip.
Yeah.
He also does it when he's trying to act young and hip. He'll throw in phrases and you're like, dude, that's 20 years old.
Are we raising the roof in here or what, man? That roof looks raised.
Is that the response? After they raise the roof enough? Guys, that roof looks raised.
He says it. People look at him like, did that guy just say raise the roof? And then he doubles down because he knows that it's cool.
Well, you know what? That does make it cool. So long as you believe it's cool, even if it doesn't matter others' opinions.
That's the story of my life.
Cool. Without a doubt.
It's always just about selling, you know?
In what capacity? Because right there I was saying, you don't have to sell it to others. It doesn't matter if they buy it. And you're like, no. Total opposite.
Yep. You got to go strong no matter what. If you say something and you realize that the room isn't reading it the way you wanted,
the roof isn't raising as high as you'd like.
Let's just say that roof looks like it's at a standard level. Then you got to do what you got to do.
Maybe a story and a half. You know what I mean? This thing has not been blown off.
Yeah, I mean, 100% not blown off. But this is where you got to, build that sunlight, just really get that thing going.
I was hoping for something mildly profound.
No.
You got to get that sunlight, build the stairway to heaven, something, anything.
Damn, that's pretty sick, bro.
If we're raising the roof, well, let's just make this Tower of Babylon, man, and we'll take it all the way to the top.
God damn, man, you got all the...
Oh, I got references that... There's Tower of Babylon. You want to talk to the kids right there? They're going to love it.
Dude, the kids are down.
Or is it Babel? Tower of Babel?
I think it's Babylon.
Okay.
I assume. I you know what? The truth is, I'm not familiar with the... That's one of the seven wonders of the world, right?
It was...
The original seven wonders?
It was they so high. Them. Like, basically, it was the highest structure that has ever been built, and the story behind it was you got to the top, and it was so far away that people came back speaking a different language. Like, they're just interacting with a higher form of being or whatever
Jesus.
The case is.
How tall do you think it was? Like three stories probably
Something
back
like
then?
Something that. You look at old, construction.
A good six-story building.
Unless they're doing a pyramid where you're stacking things on top of each other.
I never respected pyramids.
No love?
Absolutely none.
Catherine and I were flirting with maybe going there this year to see that. I want to see the Valley of the Kings. That's what I'd rather see.
Hmm.
It's where they found all the tombs.
Yeah.
Just out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't pay me to go to Egypt. If someone was like, here's $20,000 go to Egypt, I'd be like, nah, dog, I'm good.
Last when I looked like 6 months ago, its travel warning was better than for those outside of this country coming here at the time.
Yeah.
Just because it was very much a, they apparently don't like foreigners right now, so maybe it's not the best time foreigners to be coming here to hang out, unless you're from Europe.
I wouldn't travel here either.
There's a ton to see here. How do you not?
I mean, I would travel here from here, but if I was a filthy, disgusting foreign person, I wouldn't come here to the unbelievable presence of America.
The prestigiousness, you wouldn't dull the shine.
I absolutely wouldn't, because, you know, when you've spent your life living the bronze medal life at best, you don't just wander into the gold palace, and that's truly what we are, especially with the golden leader sitting on the throne.
So you're saying on the Olympic podium, you have bronze medal in third, but gold palace, is that like Uber first? You just crush the competition so much.
They didn't even just give you a medal.
No, they vault right past and you get a palace.
Here is a golden castle.
Exactly. This is reserved for like Phelps. Somebody has won a lot. Maybe Usain Bolt for just crushing people.
Absolutely not. He's not even American.
Well, I was saying within the Olympics.
I think the Olympics should really restrict the Golden Palace strictly for Americans. You know, I don't care if you've won a million races. If you're doing it for the wrong country, then you don't get shit.
Well, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Plus, in Jamaica, I think they could probably live in a gold medal just fine compared to what they have.
You got firsthand experience, do you?
I've met a Jamaican before.
Perfect. Perfect. Was that great one? I don't think that counts.
A great one. Was he from Jamaica?
No, he's not.
He was one of my favorite people who smelled like cat pee, and I never wanted to be around.
He was all right.
He was a nice enough dude.
Nice guy.
I never, like, he was introduced to me as the great one. I think Tripoli introduced
me to
him.
It's who introduced me to him as well.
And
this is the great one.
Yeah.
All right.
I was just like, sure. And so one day, someone was at the comedy store, and he was just standing there, and I go, and that's the great one. And they go, what? They go, he's the great one. They go, why are they calling that? I go, I don't know. I don't think he, you know, has a name. He just goes by the great one. He's like, my name's Mike. I'm like, what? He's like, my name's Mike. I go, well, why do you go by great one? He's like, because that's what everyone calls me. I'm like, well, all right, well, that's Mike. He's the great one.
Yeah, I don't know. We were Facebook friends. I remember I was shocked when there's a name. Of course there's a name.
Yeah.
But you just existed to me as the great one. Oh, there's great one.
Unbelievable cat pee smell. Like great. He found a litter box and was like, yeah, that's a good place to
great
sleep.
Great belt buckle game, though. Especially
decent,
for a black guy.
Decent.
Great belt buckle game. I saw he used to have one with a wolf, but it was just the head of the wolf like coming out of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty legit. The rest of it, I could take or leave, but you know that didn't smell like cat pee, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was legendary for trying to work the ugly friend when comics at the comedy store were trying to hook up with someone who brought an ugly friend.
Okay.
You could count on great one to just, you and you have to signal him. You don't have to send out the great one bat signal. You just knew if you
swoop
kept
right
talking
in,
suddenly he'd pop up from the other side of the wall. You're like, well, what was he laying down in the parking lot? He's like, oh, are you a two? Let's talk. Damn, great one. You're good.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you to distract her because I don't need her worrying about her friend over on the side.
Yeah.
So this is working out just fine by me. My buddy Robert down in San Diego, he was like, I like you when we go out, you know, kind of going out for girls.
Sure.
Because he liked them just as crazy as he could possibly find them. And that just like, nah, I can't deal with that. I've had that. That's
yeah.
No, thank you. So if she had like a semi-sane friend, be like, I can hang out with a semi-sane friend.
Sure.
That's fine. I'm used to that.
And he was going for the crazy one. It wasn't like he would do it. It was like, that's what he wanted.
That's what he wanted. That's what he was attracted to.
That's beautiful.
That's, well, man, the man knew exactly what he wanted.
Different strokes, I guess.
And it wasn't like one of those things of you figured it out. It's the first time you're going out like, listen, this is what I'm into. Be like, all right, that's fine. It's, you have a firm grasp of precisely what you want. Zero problem with this.
That is impressive.
It is. Well, know thyself. Well, he clearly did. He told me that he got married and he knew on his wedding night that he had made a mistake and he'd been carrying it with him. By the time he told me that he'd been married for like 2 years.
Okay.
And he's like, When he would hang out with us, he would talk about all the time. He would start sentences with, when I'm divorced.
That's beautiful.
It was right in the middle of a conversation. He was like, well, when I'm divorced, we could probably head up there more often. He's like, okay, all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long did he plan the divorce before getting divorced? Did he get divorced?
Yeah, eventually he got divorced. He got divorced, I think, within a couple of years of us hearing those statements.
Wow.
So
he put in some time.
he was married for a short amount of time and then moved on. It doesn't really suit him. Now, I've known him for how long? I can't. I knew you was married, so I can always picture you as married. But if I had met you just as a comic and didn't know about the home life, never in a million years would I assume you were married.
Yeah.
Other guys, totally. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't. That's crazy to me. Like the moment you're like, yeah, I might get divorced. I don't know why you wouldn't just get divorced.
Yeah. Well, I think they had a number of spinning plates. So I think he was trying to basically land all this stuff and get to a good enough place between the two of them. Just renovations on a house and stuff like that. Didn't want to have to leave right in the middle of that.
Yeah. You leave and let her deal with that. That's the move. That's the man's move.
Is it?
Yeah. You burn some of her stuff and then you let her deal with all the problems.
Wow.
Bon voyage.
It sounds like you had this exit plan built up on your own. Why are we burning things? That was never established.
So, no, I mean, if you're planning a good divorce, you got to burn some of their stuff. That's just the rules.
I didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, this is because, you know, you're not as street smart as I am. That's really what it boils down to.
I think you get your PhD in street psychology once you blow a roof off. Just like, this dude has the pulse of the streets.
That really could be the situation.
That, you get that, you get the Golden Palace, you get all of it.
They used to call me the tornado because of all the roofs that I just blew completely off.
The nicknames
are starting again.
I was about to say, this is the beginning. This is the beginning, listeners, if we continue this on for a long time. Just remember, it was episode 2. Well, I gave you the nickname Whiskers last week for those eyebrows. But
understandable.
It's the self-ascribed. Yeah. That's where it builds. So tornado is where we're starting. All right.
Yep.
Let's see where we go.
Category 5, brother. Every time.
Oh, dude, I think we brought up the wrestling, but if this isn't your hook, here he is, the human tornado. Gene, I'm a category 5 every time.
I wake up category 5 and I go to bed still blowing 5.
Might want to rephrase that. You know, bunch of oiled up guys in spandex. I don't know if I want to see blowing a 5.
Line them up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not afraid to be who I am.
Oh, it's even more intimidating now.
There's a lot of guys who won't even get in the ring with me.
No, no. Just because of the forced blowjob that is coming their way.
Your dick's about ready to get category 5'd. I don't think that's...
Oh, my God. It's getting hard. Oh, my God.
Get ready to have your roof completely blown off. What does that mean?
You're in the eye of the storm now.
The creepiest wrestler of all time.
Oh, aggressive eye contact. Aggressive. Oh, man. I picture you with the fucking Ultimate Warrior little arm strap things that are just like whatever, torn t-shirt.
Yeah.
Type of nonsense.
Extremely unimpressive arms.
Oh, really? I was going to give you the full wrestler makeover.
No, as is. That's the way I do it.
That's all the more impressive.
It's my verbal intimidation that scares him. It's not a physical thing. As soon as you knock me out, I'm going to get that dick in my mouth. Like, what?
Mentally beat him down before you physically rape him.
I don't want to knock him out. Did you hear what he said? Uh-oh, this category 4 is getting a little bit windier.
Exactly.
What?
Seems like the winds are picking up a little. Oh, dear God.
The only wrestler who is on the mic during the match. Like, why does he keep picking up the microphone?
Shouldn't they just give him a wireless headset? Just so we don't have to keep watching him fumble around for this?
I don't do anything wireless, and you know that.
Well, then is he just the dangling over the top of the ring? So he runs up to it, just says something creepy, and then puts it back down and goes back to trying to blow guys? In full view of kids, no less.
Gonna be at least Intercontinental Champion in no time.
Oh, I think you somehow have the team by yourself. And Vince's job, ultimately.
I should see if I can get in the Schmodown with this character.
I bet you could.
Pretty easy?
Pretty easy.
That's pretty exciting.
Thankfully, you know the guy at the top, so you can get in if you like.
I do. I know the Vince. If not, then I go pro wrestling. That's the deal. Do you ever watch pro wrestling?
No, because I'm a fucking adult.
No, I said, did you ever watch?
Oh, did I? Yes. Yeah. I mean, you have one of the best / worst stories about wrestling of all time. It's been years since I've heard it. I'm down to hear it again.
Well, I was talking to some of the guys who do that wrestling podcast at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, the Store Horseman.
The Store Horseman, and they were saying, oh, yeah, you should come down. We're getting so-and-so. I go, yeah, I don't know who that is. They go, you don't even know who it is? I go, oh, I haven't watched since 1999.
Shit, I haven't even watched since like 891 or 2 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched like through the, well, not through it because I think they went on after I stopped watching, but.
I never saw Stone Cold. I never saw The Rock.
Yeah, those were the big stars when I stopped watching.
NWO, I remember when it came out, but I wasn't watching wrestling at that point.
Right.
I just knew it existed, and I was like, Hogan with this weird painted on 5 o'clock shadow and.
It wasn't even weird or painted on. It's just weird because he bleaches his mustache.
Yeah,
white.
so aggressively.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it looked so perfect that it looked fake, even though I knew it was real.
Yeah.
It just looked too perfect. I'm like, that looks like it's painted on.
God, he put out probably the best sex tape there is in the business. I give him credit for that.
I mean, I've only seen... I was going to say, it's like a short clip. Doesn't seem like it's all that long for as far as a sex tape goes.
I don't even think there was any sex. It was just him afterwards sitting on the bed, just
I really memory serves, like it's him getting up off of her and then walking around the outside of the bed and sitting towards the camera, but on the side of the bed.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It's been years. It's not like it's one I go to back to revisit.
Yeah. And like the lady's husband who he's friends with is just hanging out in the living room.
Yeah.
And he just keeps going, oh, shit, I should have done that, brother. You're like, damn, this guy is the king.
Apparently, wasn't it the husband's idea?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like Hogan was
sneaking
in there. It was just.
No. But that aspect of it, it's one thing, like, there's the Ari story where. You know, the girl was like, you're on my list, and he's already okay with this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed like in this instance, it was the dude was facilitating, like, I want you to sleep
with
my wife.
He wanted the champ to rock his lady's world.
I don't know why you would ever want that, but okay, to each their own.
And listen, man, if you were one half of a mid-level pro wrestling tag team, and...
Is that who it was?
Yeah, I think it was like one of the Nasty Boys or someone.
No clue.
Yeah, exactly.
Who were the Nasty Boys?
They're just these fat loser tag team. I don't know how to describe them other than that.
Okay.
They were like, they wore like biker vests.
Did one have blonde hair and it was short crew cut but mullet in the back?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. You're on the right page here.
I don't remember what the other one looked like.
The other one basically looked the same, only had a black haircut that looked exactly the same. Kind of overweight, never really shaved.
Yeah, and by kind of overweight.
Very overweight, yeah. About
if memory serves,
300.
Again, I'm going back a long time.
Yeah, no muscle definition whatsoever.
No, but he had like a belly.
Big belly.
Yeah, and you know, he could lift dudes, so he was strong.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they probably wrestled, I want to say, from like mid-80s to maybe mid-90s.
Yeah, no.
I don't really remember them being too far into the 90s, but I remember them being at like Royal Rumble in like 91 or something. That's like the last time I remember seeing them. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
The only thing Catherine and I are talking about doing one of those luchador things. There's one that comes through every like 2 months downtown.
That's where you dress up in luchador masks and
no,
pretend
they have,
to be strangers?
They have a luchador, like three things in one night, and there's like some mariachi band, and they have celebrity commentator like do the color commentary.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's supposed to be fun to like just go do something different.
It's like a local wrestling.
But it's well produced, I guess. So okay. They make it more of like a show. So there's other things in between matches and shit like that. It's like 2 hours. You're in and out.
I know, like when the Store Horsemen guys did the wrestling event in the main room, they had a bunch of luchadors that I'd never heard of. That I guess I would, because the wrestlers I had heard of would probably be like 60 now. But they're he's so good. I go, what's his thing? Like, he thinks he's a dinosaur. I'm like, okay. I don't know how good that could be.
Well, look, we just extolled the virtues of the Nasty Boys, which is the most generic of names of all time.
They're just these, and part of the Nasty Boys' move was that they were very smelly, and so
they'd armpit people.
Yeah, they'd armpit people.
Yeah,
go into the corner, throw them.
Yeah,
in
they
the
were
corner,
stupid,
and then just. Face into the armpit.
Oh, yeah, and then the person overacts. Yeah. And stomping their feet around so it makes a big loud percussive noise.
It was impressive, but their armpits apparently secreted chloroform because a couple of times dudes just were straight out cold. And that's when Category 5 snuck in there.
Exactly. It wrought a whole lot of devastation on that cock. Is that what it still is, though? Because Category is definitely for Hurricane. Is it for Tornado? Literally, all my knowledge of tornadoes comes from Twister and the occasional Weather Channel thing. But that's so rare, so I legitimately have to say Twister.
Yeah.
So is it a cat? Is it a Category 5?
I believe so.
Okay.
It's been a long time. If I was straight out of Kansas, then I probably would remember it better. But it's been a long time since I've experienced the tornado.
I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it would just be a dream to be able to relive some of those memories. Just sitting in a basement, not seeing anything or knowing what's going on.
One time I was driving, and you could hear it on the radio, and two tornadoes had touched down, and they were somewhat converging on one another. And it was on this, you know, country road. It was in Illinois, and the main road hooked to the left. But there was this little hump, and you just went straight. And so it veered to the left, and there was this other connector street that got you to another main road. And I took that little connector. And you on the radio, they're giving you play-by-play on the tornadoes. And one of the two touched down. So had I followed the curve instead and gone a quarter mile down, it touched down there roughly right around the same time. Because, like, you know, they were just doing it live. Okay, it's finally, we have eyewitness.
Yeah.
Here's where it is. And then the second one ended up touching down. So the next main street I got to, I took a right. And when we got the confirmation that one was down, then two came down behind me, like a couple hundred yards back. But I didn't see it in my rear view because I was just driving, trying to get the fuck away from a tornado that I knew was right there. That's the closest I've ever come. And that's crazy close, but I've never seen one.
Yeah, I remember seeing one, but it was, you know, a couple miles away.
Okay.
And you only see it every time lightning would light up the sky.
Even spookier.
Yeah. And so it was probably 7 o'clock at night, something like that. Either beginning or end of summer, I can't even remember. But it was getting dark enough, and then with the storm system in, it was pretty dark. The cloud coverage was thick enough that the sun was blocked out, but seeing it and then being like, I guess probably get home.
Yeah, it could be a good time to get the hell out of here.
When I was in college, Eli and my girlfriend at the time and I drove to Red Rocks in Denver to go see Tenacious D with Galactic and Ween.
Great show.
Yeah, just jamming, bro. And so we got in my sweet Windstar minivan that I had at the time.
Yeah, you had it out here too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Headed out, thought, let's just go to the show. And of course, we were 20. I think we were probably 20 at that time. Yeah, because we couldn't drink yet. So just headed out. Didn't bother to, you know, check weather or things that reasonable human being would do, but a 20-year-old who's just got a giant bag of pot. And
but that, at the same time, now I'm way more apt to check it because I've got it on my phone. I can pull it up at any
time.
Also
true.
Then you would have had to turn on the TV and wait for like forecasts on your route. Like
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could have just gone to the Weather Channel and they would have, you know, mentioned that there was going to be thunderstorms and
yeah.
It probably would have taken an hour, but all I'm saying is that there was definitely at least 24 hours between when we decided we were going to go and going.
That okay.
At some point, one of us could have been like, hey, let's see what that weather's going to be like since it's August and there's clearly potential for at least an enormous thunderstorm.
Yeah.
But we started driving from Lawrence and we got probably about 2 hours away. We made it through Topeka and I want to say we were getting close to, we were somewhere near Ellsworth County. I don't even remember where that is at this point. But
is that still in
it's
Kansas?
Middle
or?
Of Kansas, yeah.
Okay.
It's like right in the central Kansas. And as we were driving, I just remember very dark clouds on the horizon, and then we kept driving towards it. And like another 40 minutes later, I'm just like, man, that is an enormous storm system. And it looked like it was like 30,000 feet in the air, just yeah. these huge thunderbolt clouds. And then we just thought, hey, we should turn on some of the radio. See
yeah,
if
a little talk radio.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little.
Turn it on just immediately, the dee, 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 the emergency broadcast system. I'm like, oh, that's good. Like, yeah, there's three tornadoes confirmed on the ground, two in Ellsworth County, one in, I think, Sedgwick County or something. And I'm like, where are we? Eli's like, that sign said we were 8 miles to Ellsworth. I'm like, is Ellsworth in Ellsworth County? And he's like, I'm pretty sure it is. Oh, okay. So we're driving and then just hail starts just crushing down.
Yeah,
like,
I've had that.
So we turned and we got off the highway because it said it was directly in front of us. We drove south. We had to end up going south like an hour and a half before we could get around this system.
And then head back west?
Yeah, and then head west and then back up north. But then you could just see just this colossal storm that, I mean, realistically, an hour before when we first saw it should have been like a, hey, what's the deal with that storm? But
yeah.
Again.
I've driven through all kinds of shit. I've driven across the country like 3-4 times solidly yeah. across the country.
Yeah.
Just
running Coors Light.
Crushing it.
Coors banquet beer.
Following fish around for 2 summers.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You,
yeah.
You
I drove out here and I drove from college to Colorado a couple times to go okay. skiing, and I drove I've driven a lot.
Yeah.
I remember once we were driving and just this fog came in out of nowhere and suddenly you couldn't see more than 5 feet in front of you. Like basically what Kobe's chopper went through.
Yeah.
Just rolled in. Boom, just got hit. I remember driving through Pennsylvania somewhere and just the visibility went down to nothing. So we're doing like 15, 10.
Yeah.
On the interstate. It's 7 a.m.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, hopefully nobody hits me. Everybody else is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had a fog roll on me so thick. I had to drive from the Uno's Pizzeria where I worked 5 miles to get back to my apartment at KU. And it was so thick that I just ended up having to pull over because I was like, I
can't see.
I can't. I don't even know where I am on the road.
I've had that with rain before where wipers can't keep up because you're just getting, not only is it coming fast, you can tell the drops of water are huge.
Yeah.
And it's blanketing. Like I literally cannot see anything in front of me right now.
I find the best thing to do in that situation is to speed up and swerve a little. Cover the most ground.
Get a little fancy with it.
Outrun the water. Serpentine.
There you go. Slalom across the interstate. It's always a good policy. Just back and forth. Back and forth.
Also get right in front of a big rig and then just slow down as
immediately
abruptly as possible.
And then speed up real quick and then slow down again super quick.
It's like one of the only things that combats rain.
And interestingly, I mean, no one's really corroborated to, but that is the greatest rage inducer in drivers.
Yep.
So one of my favorite things about living out here is, when was the last time you were driving here and you got a bug on your car?
like hit the windshield?
Yeah. Or the, I mean, I never have to clean the front of my car for bugs. I never.
Yeah. Yeah. The only time it happened was last year when there was that butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
There was, for whatever reason, because we had so much rain last year, there was like an extra 100 million butterflies flying up from Mexico or whatever it was. And then I literally drove to pick up my daughter from preschool and was just smacking butterflies on the 101. I'm like, damn.
Just murdering.
I mean, I probably hit 50 to 70. And I had to, when I got to her preschool, I had to pick a couple bodies off the windshield wipers, which was fun.
My favorite when you're driving is you just at the very last second, you can tell there's a big bug flying right at your windshield and be like, oh, dude, this is a terrible way to die.
Yeah,
this
poor thing.
Massive.
Get that yellowish.
Yeah, that greeny yellowy type of goo from the inside. I've driven through like mayflies once those things come out.
Yeah.
And just you're plowing. I mean, your car has thousands on it.
Every summer we would go from Kansas City to Colorado, and every time we stopped to get gas, it was fun to watch my dad try and scrape the now solid,
just covered
bug guts. Yeah, I mean, straight covered.
And it's the windshield is whatever because you can clean that somewhat as you're going.
Yeah,
it's that front fender, front grill that's caked on where you can take the same squeegee wiper thing and you're just like
scrubbing it. Yeah,
as hard as you can. Just so gross. And I thought about that after I'd lived here for a couple of years. It was like, wow, I never have to clean my car from bugs.
It's nice.
It is nice.
Desert living.
We went back a couple of years ago. She'd never been to Peoria. It was my parents' anniversary, so we all flew in and surprised them and all that stuff. And, yeah, just the drive from Chicago down to Peoria.
What's that, like 2 hours?
2 hours.
Yeah.
Two and a half, because we were coming from O'Hare, I think. Okay. But easy, you know, nothing serious.
Yeah.
At the time, I used to think it was like, ah, dude, you know, Chicago's 2 hours away. It's like it's there, but it's not there. And now I'd be down there being like, yeah, it's right there. Do you want to go to Chicago? Like, two hours is nothing.
Yeah, because that could be, you know, 25 miles. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it takes me at least 4 hours to get to San Diego.
Depends on when. It all comes down to when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I drove from San Diego up here to do the belly. It was the first time I ever did the belly at the store, for those listening. And I'd never done it, so in my head, it was like a big deal.
Yeah, you're performing at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, bro.
Exactly.
You're
coming up from La Jolla.
Another week.
And I've already been told the show is sold out. And it's like, and it was. And yeah. I had a good time, had a good set, all that jazz, but it took me a little over 5 hours because I left here, or left rather San Diego at like two or three o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, that's the death trap.
It is.
You managed to hit some rush hour cities almost.
Yeah, perfectly stacked, but through Orange County, then into L.A., so you're just stuck in rush the entire trip north.
Yeah, I've had
no other choice.
I've had terrible circumstances, basically, like where I had to do a callback for a commercial I ended up not getting at like noon, and so I end up getting on the road at like 1:45 and then just spend 5 hours not moving on highways all the way to San Diego. Love it.
I had a
slight break usually around San Onofre, and then after that back to just standstill traffic.
I was leaving. So my old place was not far from here. It's only like 4 or 5 blocks, you know, that direction.
Okay.
And I was going out to Santa Monica for a callback, but I didn't go in to the audition itself. So it was just straight to callback.
Yeah.
Because the director was somebody that I had actually worked with, and I had shot something else, whatever, some other stupid commercial. But he was like, I think you'd be right for this. So here, and I got it last second, but you know, when they called me, they're like, oh, it's the guy that did this, and he specifically asked for you. And it was last second, but he said, can you make it down there? And I was like, sure. And it took me almost 2 hours because the 10 was just bumper to bumper. I was on it for a couple minutes, and I was like, this is going nowhere. So I got off and took surface streets, and I moved a little bit quicker than that, but not by much. And by the time I got there, they had finished for the day, and they had already left. And I walked in. I was like, are you kidding me? I just did 2 hours in the car to get here from Silver Lake. And the lady at the desk is like, that sucks, because he was asking about you type of... He held out, and just the frustration, and he turned around, and it was on a Friday. Great. Now I have to drive in 2 hours to get back to somewhere that's like 11 miles away.
Yep.
I mean, 12 miles away. And just like, this fucking sucks. What a shit day.
Yeah, I mean, it took me, it said on my Google Maps it was going to take me 50 minutes to get from my place to the Warner Brothers lot on Monday when I shot this commercial.
Sure.
And it ended up taking me about an hour and 35 minutes. And like every 5 minutes I'd look down at the Google Maps and it would have added another 7 minutes. I'm just like, this motherfucker.
It wasn't giving you an alternate route?
No.
Anything. Get off, take Ventura.
No.
And shoot all the way down.
It just kept, it stayed claiming that the fastest route was the highway. And there was two accidents at different points, but, you know, I had to be there at, I think, 10 was my.
Oh, that's not bad.
But I had to leave. I needed to be there by 9:30 because I had to sign a bunch of stuff. I had to be ready to film by 10.
Sure.
So I left at like 8 just to like make
just
sure I
case.
Get there. Yeah. And I got there 9:35 or something, where I'm rushing to, you know, what can you do other than just be like, yeah, you know, traffic was shittier than usual. And they're just looking at you like, yeah, it's always shittier than usual. How long have you lived
here,
rookie?
Exactly. It's not, though. It's just like, you know, just as well as I do that this should take X.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, like, I had to go from here to Burbank a couple weeks ago. And it's usually, if there's no traffic, it takes me 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not bad. If there's traffic, worst case is like 35, 40. And it was one of those, and it was like an hour or two. Hour five or something, because at that point you're like, how long did this take to the minute? What do I fucking got to know? It's just frustrating as shit. But I've never shot a commercial on the lot.
Yeah,
that's interesting. They would tell you. I mean, they tell you in advance what it was because they were being secretive.
No, I found out
on the shoot.
On the shoot,
you allowed to talk about it?
Nope.
Okay. Any clue on a release?
No, they literally.
Okay.
Gave us no information whatsoever. Had they not had to use the automobile in the commercial, they probably never would have told us.
Wow.
that's how crazy it was. Where it was like, all right.
Man. Was it still period?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I got a guess, but there's no point, so you can't talk about it.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, that's cool, though. At least you got to shoot on lot. That's something different.
Yeah, I guess so.
As opposed to just showing up at some dude's house and they've paid to rent the house for the day or whatever, some office building. Or I've done it in a gym before when the gym members were still allowed to work out in the background.
That's pretty cool.
That was weird. There was this old dude trudging around in loafers. He had like dress penny loafers on and workout clothes, all the rest of it, but black socks and penny loafers. Damn. And he's just like scooting along looking at us like we're assholes.
Dude, man, figured it out. He's living his best life.
Good part of town, so he's figured out something.
Yeah, I remember I filmed a Lowe's commercial, and the first day, it was like a 3-day shoot. The first day they did at an actual Lowe's up in way North Valley. I can't even think.
Well, up in...
there's like a Best Buy and...
Yeah, where the... What is it?
It's like
the 210 and the 5 basically.
Yeah.
I've been there a bunch of times.
Yeah, so we filmed in there, and the same thing. Store was just open to the public. Mm-hmm. And they would just have security prevent people from walking into the little area where we were specifically filming.
Yeah.
But in the commercial, I walk into the pool. Outdoor swing I built falls apart and I go crazy and I walk into the pool and then
I've
scream
seen that one.
Underwater.
Yeah.
And then the commercial is supposed to end then with me standing in the Lowe's talking to the Lowe's employees about where I messed up, and I'm drenched head to toe because I went straight from the pool to Lowe's without changing, apparently. That was the gag. But they literally just had me stand on a tarp inside the Lowe's and then just poured buckets of water on me so that I'm soaking wet. And all these people are just standing around watching like, what the fuck are they doing? And then the people, director, assistant director, is like explaining to them the concept, and they're just looking at them like, what? And then they didn't even use any of that footage. That part never even made it. They had to do a re-edit on the commercial because the first release,
more money in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't care there, but I was concerned for a minute that they were going to cancel the spot because the first, it was a 30-second spot, but they edited a 15-second spot.
Yeah.
And the 15-second spot, I look at the swing set, proud of myself, look down, realize I have 4 or 5 extra screws that I didn't use,
mm-hmm.
look back at it, inquisitive. Swing set falls apart. I turn around, walk directly into the pool, cut. That's the end. Some bubbles coming up.
Lows.
People online were like, I don't think it's funny to joke about suicide. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's a Lowe's commercial. Do you really think they're joking about suicide in a Lowe's commercial?
That guy killed himself. That was the premise of the spot. And then Lowe's released the 30-second thing later, which includes me underwater raging out. And that's the
final capper, as opposed to showing
that lets people
up.
Know he's not dead. He's just a crazy person.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, they better not cancel this because a bunch of fucking assholes on Twitter are concerned that we're making fun of suicide.
Well, for you, it got re-edited and you made even more money.
I got an extra $900 or whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever it is. Thank you to the new... I'm not even in SAG anymore. I stopped paying the dues because I'm not going on auditions anymore. It's just like, why do I need to be part of this union?
Yeah.
If I'm not seeking the work anymore, so
yeah. I mean, I basically just pay my dues whenever it is that I get a job.
Well, I guess now if I booked a job and just like, well, you owe back dues and now you're gonna have to pay the extra $2,000 to re-up on membership.
Yeah, I mean, what they like the penalty for not paying it on time, whatever, is next to nothing, but it's just like you just owe whatever it was you would have owed.
Well, yeah,
so then it's not. Then it becomes almost like, this isn't worth it because I owe $3,000 since I haven't paid in 5 years and I'm only going to make $2,000 on this spot. But
it's been at least 18 months to 2 years since I paid my dues.
Yeah.
Because I've just, they sent 4 or 5 straight months of, hey,
these things are due.
Yeah. You're a little over, but you know what? If you get it by next week, everything will be fine. And then 3 weeks later, get another letter in the mail and it's like, all right, guys, take the hint at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come down to your office. I'm not driving all the way to Mid-City just to walk in and be like, guys, I'm out.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Well, it's nice now you can just pay it online and it's immediate. But
yeah, they instituted that. I took advantage of that. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what you want me to do. I think the outward sign of me not paying you money tells you I'm good.
So, like, the first commercial you book, you can Taff Hartley it or whatever. You don't have to actually join.
Correct.
And so I booked... My first commercial I booked was Cheetos, I think.
Okay.
And then less than a week later, I booked a Geico. So I booked 2 commercials in like a week and a half. And those were the first commercials I ever booked. But because they were so, it was almost like they were still using file cabinets with hard copies of things.
Oh, yeah.
That I just literally didn't pay for either and just Taff Hartley'd both and no one said anything.
I was gonna say they never got wise because
they just didn't know.
No,
it took so long for them to process everything. And so then the third thing I booked, they were like, you have to join. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't really have the money to pay it right now. They're like, well, then you can't do the spot. And I was like, god damn it.
See, I couldn't wait. As soon as I got my first union, I joined the union.
Yeah.
Because I was sick of going to all the non-union.
Right.
Because of my average whiteness, I fit a lot of different calls. Yeah,
sure.
And
you lucked out.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told not good looking enough for most parts and not weird looking enough for the others.
I am so middle. The problem, though, is just like you're good in front of the camera, so am I. It's easy. Just like whatever.
Yeah.
I can deliver the lines and not look like an asshole. It's not a problem.
Right.
So on top of I get a lot of auditions, I get a lot of callbacks. And Aqua liked me because I could get a callback, honestly, probably 3 out of 4 times pretty easily.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going out for so many. But on the non-unions, they could give 2 shits. I've waited for hours before, literally hours. And I sat there, you get frustrated at certain points and eventually you're like, you know what? I already committed to being here. So there's right. no point in being upset with the situation is. You just ride it out. You'll be out. And as soon as you can go union, you fucking go union because you don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
Right.
So yeah, I paid immediately and I couldn't even understand. I was like, why would you want a Taft-Hartley? Guys, this stop doing that shit. Because yeah. you're only going to make, you know, at the time, I booked a couple non-unions and I made like $1,200 or $1,500.
Yeah, that's it. Like the most a non-union gig typically pays is $2,500.
Yeah. But so. You got to think, okay, $1,200, there's the audition, the callback, the day's fitting, the day's shooting. So it's 4 days.
Yeah.
Of driving back and forth and every which way. And then finally it pays off, but that's only one. And I'm going right. to, like, right before it gets to Christmas and they're doing the lead up to all the Christmas commercials.
Yeah.
I had weeks where I had 7, 8, 9 auditions and callbacks. I'm just like, I'm driving. I carried changes of clothes in my car because it's like, I need a suit for this one and I need to be in this for this one and I need for this for this other one. So yeah, I'm in like that. Santa Monica on random. As streets and whatnot in my car changing, just wait until, okay, this looks like a quiet street, and then strip down and then put on this fucking suit and go in and read your stupid insurance thing.
Yeah.
And then leave that and then go somewhere else. Like, I didn't mind the actual process of once you get it and you get in the room, because like, some fun could be had here.
Sure.
It's all the other shit around it, which is like, I got to find parking.
Yep.
And I'm not paying for parking.
Yeah, and I always got the worst auditions. Aqua was legendary for sending me on the auditions that their premier clients had turned down, and they were just sending me without getting approval.
Yeah, I've had that happen with them.
So it was always like, yeah, Ocean Park, Thursday, 4:15. And I'd be like, all right. I'd get down there and be like, you're not on our list. I'd be like, I was told. Like, who's your agent? Aqua? I'd be like, yeah, how'd you know? I'd be like, because this is what they do, and it's not okay.
Yeah.
Cool, thanks. I'll see you.
Especially
guys
the, once it went to the digital system.
Yeah.
Where it's much harder. I only, when I got here is when Casting Frontier and everybody else is making that switch. So I only carried headshots for the first couple months.
I've never carried a headshot.
I brought it with because I guess
that's
you
what you're told
these.
To do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that got phased out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
To where it's just like, oh, we've got all of it online.
It's all, yeah.
And we can access it. It's way easier. We're not wasting all kinds of. I can't imagine the stacks and stacks and stacks of headshots they had to throw away every day.
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking waste.
Well, now it's like the commercial agents, they don't even do anything. They're not even like sending, hey, look at these clients. It's literally just a database and the
spits
commercial people
out.
Look
yeah.
and look through the 500 photos and pick, oh, we want these people, and then send the agencies, hey, will you send us these people? So it's like there's not even that element of them kind of working hard for you for.
Wow. So they're just a middleman straight up.
Yeah, that's literally all they are now. It's just.
Well, I mean, I guess you need kind of some sort of gatekeeper because otherwise instead of 500 photos that they're going through,
yeah.
they're paying through the hassle of not to have to go through 10,000.
Right.
Because there's so many actors in this town. If you had to cycle through.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, all of them for every fucking job. Yeah, that sucks. I haven't been over this so. Lawrence, when I told him, I was like, man, I called him up because they were going to send me on something, and it was the like 10th one in a row where I knew I just wasn't fucking going.
Right.
And I just finally, I felt bad at that point because I hadn't gone to any of these. Maybe somebody else was losing the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I just called him. I was like, dude, I'm out. And he's like, oh, that's good, because I was going to call you and tell you we want you to get new headshots and stuff. And I'm like, well, that's clearly not going to happen.
That's always their move.
Yeah. Well, that's what's, you know, lagging. It's like, okay, man. I am good. I'm done. And he's like, all right, well, if you ever want to come back. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm done. So
I thought it was funny. I saw that they announced that they were dropping Ari.
Yeah.
And it was like, he hasn't gone on a commercial audition in 10 years probably.
And then I heard, you know, not 24 hours after I heard that was basically none of those people dropped Ari. They publicly,
yeah.
Privately, and in reality, no,
yeah.
everybody stayed on board.
Who cares, yeah.
They knew it would blow over because it's just one fucking tweet.
Yep.
Although he did pick up social media followers.
Sure.
I went on Social Blade, and I was like, has there been any kind of hit? Because I text him. I had three people who do not know Ari and stopped me during the day. He's like, dude, you know this Ari Shaffir guy? Just
yeah, great dude.
Nothing. And I was like, yeah, actually, I do. Just randomly. So I texted him. I was like, dude, three people have stopped me. And I don't know if this is your greatest troll or your worst troll of all time.
Yeah.
And then not 20 minutes later, I saw Moses. And he's like, dude, Ari just, he had to cancel his tour. Netflix canceled their deal. And I felt so bad. I was like, ah, dude, my bad. Moses just filled me in. Yeah. Like, I didn't know if he was going through some shit.
Yeah.
And now I'm just salting the wound. But knowing Ari, I figured there was a slim chance of that.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even think he had a solid deal with anyone, because I think he was going to film it himself and then shop it, but he'll just do it in a year or
yeah,
6 months.
He'll be fine. So, his audience only grew.
Yeah, yeah. And the people that, he didn't lose a single fan.
No. They all knew he did this.
Yeah, it's literally just like strangers who don't know who he is that got mad.
They love Kobe, and
this what an inspiration.
Exactly. Well, it's the easy way to defend Kobe because other people in the crash died. So you can attack Kobe for the Colorado thing, but it's just like, oh man, fuck you, because there are other people in there and you're making fun of the entire tragedy.
Yeah.
As opposed to had it just been singularly him. It's just like, well, okay, well, you're just a Kobe lover.
Yeah, right.
And I understand there's, you know, sports fealty and whatnot, but the guy's got a right to make a joke if he wants to.
People are just, you know, they're trending outrage is a despicable behavior.
Yeah, I know. It's already gone, though. The three people that asked me about it never asked me about it again because it stopped being a story.
Yeah, people didn't care. There's something new, you know. Now it's, you know, Trump probably has done four things since then that have outraged all of society on social media.
I do love that picture where the wind is blowing his hair back and you can clearly see
the
spray
orange
tan.
Ring. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the...
It's a altered picture, Matt.
Well, there is the two closer, the black and white and the one that's the color that's closer. Especially, they both look like the hue has been turned up. The saturation has been turned up.
Get that orange-oranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the official, you know, White House, the AP stringer photo that was put out, you can tell. There is still a distinct line around where the tan was sprayed onto his face.
He's a beautiful man.
And then the people have taken that out and put him in all kinds of different little whatever memes. But some of them have been like, wow, that look on your face is really perfect for 5-6 different things that I've seen so far. Good for you.
He's a beautiful man. His mind isn't always as keen as I'd like it to be, but just in terms of looks, physicality.
Well, he went to the best schools. He fucked the best women.
Amen. Everyone always says that, you know, Penn is where the best women are. Plain and simple.
I've heard that too many. It's them, then it goes Carnegie Mellon, and there's a pecking order of Ivy League schools where just the ladies are so choice.
Because those colleges, it's interesting. They want the smartest students, but then they also... There's a subcategory of just the best-looking women that can just get in on looks.
Well, that's just a sub society right there, or subculture of society, rather.
You got to provide some, you know, bait to trap the nerds.
Is that what it is?
That's what it's all about.
It's not the prestige of the university itself.
Nope.
It's these super fine women that Penn has conned into attending their school.
That's exactly right.
So they get to carry the lofty degree...
Exactly.
And you contributed to university life in this other way.
100%.
Just being eye candy walking around campus.
I'm glad you can understand it clear as can be, because that's exactly what's going down.
That's beautiful. I mean, these primaries so far, Iowa was a shit show because of the app by a company called Shadow Incorporated. That's
so great.
That's so great. You couldn't write that. It just seems...
That
it seems like lazy writing.
That involves a lot of former staffers of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought Buttigieg also had a large financial stake in this company.
Well, that could be. I just saw that the people that started the app were people who had at one point worked for Hillary Clinton.
Well, great. Shadow Incorporated.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Genius.
And then fucking Sanders takes New Hampshire on top of that. Buttigieg is close and that Klobuchar.
Yep.
And a third, so Warren and Biden. Biden is just done, flat out. He's saying...
That's malarkey.
Know, we're only starting. This journey is only beginning. We're here for the long haul. It's like, dude, you just got your ass whooped.
Multiple times. You've been known as Creepy Uncle Joe for a while. And since then, you've only really dazzled the younger millennial audiences with your
antiquated thinking.
With your John Wayne insults. Yeah. You're a lion, dog-faced lizard woman or whatever.
That almost seems too advanced for Jill.
His genius insult to that person last week. And everyone was just like, did you just call a 21-year-old woman a lying, dog-faced? And then his campaign came out, and they're like, first of all, Mr. Biden was joking. And second of all, it's a very popular John Wayne quote. It's like, that'll get him.
Perfect.
That'll bring in the young crowd.
Perfect. So Catherine's never really followed politics. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always, like, just from the who's running and whatnot. And
sure.
Just the figures themselves. And this past cycle's not been my favorite.
No, it's pretty terrible.
It's just
a band of losers.
Well, but all spectrums of politics right now, it's basically just fuck you. Even if we agree, it's fuck you. It's just like, all right, guys, this sucks. But she's like, yeah, I've never really liked Biden. He's creepy. And it's like, well, the problem with Biden is the more you look at him, it's not he has one glaring flaw, but it's death by a thousand cuts. So it's like, oh, this creepy thing over here. It's like, this over here, just one after another. And we have decades of history
where
we can go back and find this stuff. It's just like, look, none of these are so fatal.
More specifically, it's the 2,000 different times he sniffs someone's hair.
The creepy touching does not help. And that picture of him hugging the biker mama and the other two biker guys sitting there like, fuck are you? Yeah. She's loving it, though. She's fucking loving it.
She's getting the attention.
She's getting full Joe.
Yeah. She'll have a cup every morning.
Yeah, he's at that point, he's category two. You know, it's not full.
It's not even impressive.
But it's well.
That's not even going to knock a few shingles off. You need to get it up to at least four.
He's revving up. But at his age, I don't think he can go above cat four. You know what I mean? Cat five, he dies.
100%.
His heart gives out. He raises the roof straight off his heart, and the man just checks out.
He closes the roof on his coffin is what he does.
Bobby, right now we're talking about a centrist Buttigieg is nipping at Bernie's heels or the far left of Bernie. Like, I don't know.
Either way, they're both destined to just get crushed in America. Every time people are like, well, Bernie's the only one who could actually beat him. I'm like, no, he can't. Because there's like five states that matter, and none of those states is going to vote for a far leftist.
Exactly. And the centrist is now a gay guy.
He's a gay guy. So, like, it's just, I mean, we couldn't be more doomed. Why can't we just find a good 50-year-old white guy who's quasi-reasonable that doesn't constantly scream about how he's a socialist?
That's what I know. That's what, I mean, in essence, Warren and Biden were. That's why Biden led for so long in the polling. It's just like, you know.
But he's just too old. Like,
well, Bernie's, I mean, they're both old. So is Trump. All three are just so old.
No, I know. But I'm saying in order to get Democrats, in order to get people to come out and vote Democratic, you basically have to present a candidate who somewhat represents the future but isn't frightening to retard America.
Yeah, true.
And so it's, I mean, it's just Clinton won because he seemed youngish and represented the future. Obama won because he repped the future.
He had hope,
change,
all that jazz.
But now it's just like, so we got the kind of crazy looking 80-year-old guy.
Bernie is Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be the first Jewish president.
Yep. Yeah. He's not like strongly pro-Israel, which is weird.
He just has to
be leftist, so.
Yeah. Yeah, just watching this, and then out of nowhere, this Klobuchar, like, what is this? So it's another centrist to go against Buttigieg, I guess?
Yeah.
And they're nipping each other's heels, and then the attack ads that Biden and everybody else were running were directed at Buttigieg as opposed to Sanders.
Yeah.
Because their assumption, I guess, is a centrist is going to be the one that actually makes it out of this, even if Sanders takes a couple early states.
Yeah, I think their theory is the Democratic Party has already prevented Sanders from getting the nomination before.
Once.
So they probably can do it again.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just watching now from afar. I still checking in on the results and whatnot, but I didn't know who Klobuchar was because I've so tuned out of this just chorus of you realize that none of you have a shot.
Like, well, she's what, Minnesota? Is that right?
Minnesota.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Cory Booker, and he's a name that I know. There's like the billionaire dude that's still staying in it. Bloomberg's technically now going to be on some, but he's got into the race a little bit late.
Yang dropped out.
Yeah, Yang dropped
out. The Yang
out.
Gang is...
Kamala Harris dropped out a while ago.
Yep, and she's going to back Biden, I guess. We'll see if she still does, but that was the... They were saying last week that she was going to back Biden and then expect them to announce that she would be his vice presidential running mate as a way to try and boost his...
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
But at this point, he's doing so bad, I can't imagine that she would jeopardize...
No.
Being like, hey, I know this guy seems like a creepy old guy that's losing now, but...
Hey, I'm Bernie. I mean, Bernie would need somebody young, and Buttigieg would need somebody white.
Yeah.
Because he's a white guy, but ultimately the fact that he's gay,
yeah.
You just need like, okay, this. But here's the face of the establishment that you're accustomed to.
Well, so what we need is we need him to team up with someone that's just a clear pussy hound. Just out there just sniffing it out. You know what I mean?
Perfect. Let's get Bill to be his first VP. First former president that becomes a vice president.
Smart.
A little old, but he's likable to some of the country, and he's vilely hated by the rest.
We know that he's a perv, though, and that's going to get a lot of the Trump voters.
It could. It very well could. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. I guess maybe South Carolina will clean it up a little bit, the field, so to speak, after this, but who knows?
I don't foresee any one of these people having a shot at taking down what is now a... Half the country loves the guy. He has to have no policies. He can literally just say really simplistic, dumb shit, and people are just like, I like that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, so corrupt, there's no reason to think that he's not going to do everything in his power to make sure that he wins where he needs to win. It's like, who's going to stop him? Who's going to... What is the Department of Justice going to investigate?
No, he publicly reprimanded them, so then they reduced the charges on his buddy.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us are like, you know what? He's Teflon. So it doesn't matter. Nothing sticks to him.
Yep.
So you can just basically, you know, it's dictatorial on some level.
Yeah.
He's got the nuisance of law is only the only thing holding him back to being full throttle Trump. It's crazy to watch.
It'll be a lot better when Don Jr. gets the presidency.
A clip of him on Fox and Friends or something. They're like, hey, we just want to play this real quick. And it's him introducing his dad and like a crowd of, let's say, 5,000 people. And like 500 start chanting 46. So you can hear it. But it's not like the overwhelming majority of this 5,000 or how many ever thousand people were there started chanting 46, and they cut to him. They're like, did you hear that? They were chanting 46 feet. And he's just like, well, you know, I'm here to see, make sure my dad gets elected a second term. And you're like, oh, my God, if we have to have these people, it's the, you know, Bush part two.
But it deserved.
But
it,
way better.
Way better.
Way better.
Way more deserved.
Yeah. Bush Sr. just spent his whole life in public office of some, you know, or working for...
Who are you talking about? A one-term loser? Never going to be the same with Donnie.
What was he, head of the CIA?
Yep.
Before that, so, you know, he knew where a lot of the bodies were buried, but he'd been around government long enough.
They just needed someone who didn't seem like a Fruit Loop to team up with Ron Reagan.
Oh. You can be one of the greatest presidents.
No, the greatest. And I don't know if you heard this or not, but Mount Rushmore, they're considering just carving all the heads into Ron Reagan heads. So there's going to be four Reagans.
Well, it's just, you take two presidents and it's Reagan and use the extra stone for the hat. So he's on his horse.
Smart.
And then his inauguration, and then somehow Nancy.
As long as she's on the bottom of the mountain, you know what I mean?
She's the visitor center.
I just don't want to see her elevated to the same level as such a great man.
I don't know. I mean, my understanding of him was, you know, say no to drugs that his wife ran, whatnot.
Yeah.
Star Wars, because he wanted to name the program. But when I was a kid.
Pretty cool.
And then Phil Hartman's version of him on SNL. And that was basically my understanding of Ronald Reagan, because... Yep. You know, what was that, 84 to, or no, 80 to 88?
Yep.
So by the time he was out of office, I was 9 going on 10. It's not like I had a firm grasp of who the president actually was.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really know what they did, but I remember thinking Ron Reagan, probably greatest leader of all time when I was 6. He's way better than that Gorbachev freak with that disgusting spot on his head.
Birthmark.
Ugh.
That guy rose to power. How? People just couldn't stop staring at the birthmark?
He tricked them.
Exactly.
What is that? What do you want? Yeah. Did we vote for him? I wasn't paying attention.
Well, he does the little hypnotic thing when you stare at it long enough. Like
pulsates.
Those 3D paintings, whatnot, yep. Where you have to, your eyes unfocus. Yep. And it just lulls you in. And he can do, Mikhail can do whatever that he so chooses.
God.
He's good. It's good. You got to give him credit. Look, Putin learned from the best.
At that point, Poots was just up there KGBing in East Germany like a goddamn hero. Going shirtless in a East German morgue, you know what I mean? Taking care of business.
Why is he in the morgue? What business can you be taking care of? What, killing the bodies again?
He's checking out his work from that earlier in the day.
So he's just like a serial killer enjoying his trophies. I killed this guy with my shoe.
He's the only guy whose trophy is the body of the person he killed. And he just mummies him up and throws him in the fucking trophy case.
So you turned KGB into a verb by he was KGBing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then just mummy up a dude. It's great. It's English vocab that you never knew existed.
A lot of people don't realize that I learned a lot of my English from Poots.
Well, it's like run through a translation app and then you learn it from him.
He's a master of all languages.
I was KGBing, taking notes.
I'm KGBing in East Germany at the time, yes? Yes. Working in morgue? No? Yes?
Anyway, trophy, human, rap like mummy, carry around.
Don't wrap mummy, just put some salt in body and take home. Very simple. Nuclear isotopes.
Okay. What don't you understand? Moving on.
Rich, talk to them. And then that's when I step in and handle it. I'm going to need you to come with me back here, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, so even the translation of your name of Rick is Rich?
Yeah, he always calls me Rich. Oh. That's how Vlad does it, man. He's a crazy guy. You think they have Ricks over there in Russia? Fuck no.
I just love that the whole government resigned and we went, you know what, there needs to be change. Except for him. He's fine.
Yeah.
But the rest of us got to go. And they did it in lockstep as if he isn't the entire one that gave them all their jobs and took them away. Just the public charade of, man, we got to do something about this.
Time to do the right thing.
This dude is fine though. The head of the snake, no problem.
Rules say he cannot run again? Well, then we should find a different job to give power to.
Head the janitor.
He's now
the
running
Kremlin.
Country.
The job carries many responsibility.
Just Vlad sitting in the mirror, pretending like he can flex his pecs, even though he can't. He's just shifting his body
dude,
around.
Come on, you've seen him shirtless.
Who hasn't?
Fucking judo or taekwondo or whatever that is, or fishing.
Tiger raping.
Riding a horse.
Just out there tiger raping. That's his thing. It was his first country music album.
Tiger raping?
Tiger raping. Vlad Poots.
Parenthetically, and KGBing.
East German KGBing.
Track one. I was working in the morgue.
Blitzkrieg in Berlin.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably Trump's favorite person in the world. Which, honestly,
a lot of respect.
Given what he wants, it's not a bad role model to have.
Yeah.
The one guy that's had,
just,
you know,
taking power, violating any laws that are in his
exactly.
way.
Just doing whatever the fuck he wants to under the guise of it's a democracy.
Snow plowing any enemy he sees.
Oh, man. Well, we'll have to put out the classic episodes for people to get the full breakdown on snowplowing.
Did we talk about that in the originals?
Didn't we?
I just remember talking about it working in trim rooms.
For sure.
But we probably talked about snowplowing.
Had to have. So much so that every once again, I had, for a while there, I came across just random people that put Putin in stupid pictures and whatnot. And I started saving those into a folder. And I was just going to put them like once a day on your Facebook back when we both used Facebook, which now I just check it for my group for my other show.
Yeah.
Which the only time I log on, I never use Facebook for anything anymore.
We were talking about Putin
so much and they just started cropping up. And I was like, I think I can get some mileage out of this shit.
Easy. There isn't a day goes by I don't just think about all the great stuff Poots is doing. Both in the other people's mockery and in his unbelievable ability to just be unbelievable.
It is impressive. He, I mean, the amount of stuff that you ascribe mostly to dictators, you know, like the Kim Jong-uns of the world and whatnot, where first time he played golf, he got six holes in one, and,
yeah,
and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Putin comes out with the junior versions of those stories where it's not six holes in one, but he got a hole in one on his first round of golf.
Sure.
So it makes it a little bit more believable, yeah, as opposed to the
great man.
Just the best across the board. Whatever he touches, man, he just crushes it.
I just love the simplicity of, like, they, Trump and Putin, have their first meeting at one of, like, G7 or whatever it was, and then they ask him, like, did you ask Mr. Putin about whether or not there was Russian interference? And he just has this smirk on his face, and then Trump's like, well, I asked him about it, and he said that they didn't do it. Now, you know what? I believe him. You're just like, that's it.
That's it.
He said he didn't do it?
And then what, a few days later comes out and that Trump showed him classified documents?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God.
And they had private meetings with no translator.
Yeah, no transcripts, nothing.
Like, yeah, that's good.
Completely off the books. Yeah, it's just the way it's all unfolded. I don't believe in conspiracy and whatnot, but it does very much to me seem like Trump was approached by the Russian government at some point before he ran, and he was already getting on Fox a lot. Just, yeah, like, we could do this. We could help get you elected.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, then you just owe us a few favors down the line. We'll call them in.
And you know what? We'll even forget some of these oligarch loans that you've taken for your businesses.
To build your ridiculous hotels and the prostitutes that may or may not have peed on you.
I don't even think that's an issue that the American people are concerned with.
At this point, no.
Yeah.
Other than the idea of perhaps a lot of people would find that demeaning for the president to want to be pissed on. But
look, man, if he wants it.
You just keep denying it, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if he wants it, that makes it special. And we should all be doing it. That's where the needs to be cleared
up. It's called a golden shower for a reason. It's, you know, it's already given it a nice prestige amongst kink sex fetishes.
Especially for a man who loves gold as much as Donnie.
Yeah.
He's got the toilet. There's might as well get the shower.
Nothing to read into about that whatsoever.
No.
Not at all. Outwardly has to display. It's like when you go in the poorest neighborhood and their car just has, it's completely, you know, tricked out. But you can tell that those are off-brand rims.
Don't worry about that.
The hydraulics might not be the best airbags. But you know what? It's got all the bells and whistles, kind of.
Yep. Those aren't officially the spree wells, but they still spin.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're the spread wells. And
listen, if I could get a nice pair of spread wells on my Camry, I would.
I think you could. Just find the right Walmart that sells the knockoff hubcap and make that a reality.
I haven't marted in a while.
There's one up in Burbank that's every once again, it's like, I'll run over there and grab a couple things because it's next to the other studio that I'm at. But if not for that, no, I'm not driving to Burbank. That's the closest one.
There's one over in Woodland Hills by where I am. I went in there one time. It was special, to say the least.
I've been up to that one.
I remember thinking, like, wait, where are these people coming from?
I know. This is the weirdest thing about, like, you go to the one in Burbank, and you're like, because you can go right over to there to the Target.
Right.
Which is just down there, or that Lowe's. I go to that Lowe's a decent amount, but then it's a pain in the ass if I got to return something, because then that's that or Mid-City are the closest Lowe's.
Right.
It's like, it sucks. Although I like them for certain things better. But anyway, you go there, or you go to Target, or there's a Nordstrom Rack. So you walk in there, it's totally fine. And you walk over to Walmart and you're like, where are these hunchback people, the rest of Burbank?
Is this the entire city of Lancaster? Did they bring them all down
just,
here?
Just, there's not, really? They should just build a Walmart up there.
Palm Desert?
I don't
Field
understand.
Field Day?
But it doesn't matter which one you go to. Now, like, the one in Panorama City makes all the sense in the world if you've ever been there.
It makes more sense.
You pull up to it and it feels like it's in a shitty part of town.
Yeah.
Even though it's in a fine part of town. There's nothing wrong with it, but it just seems old and decrepit. And like the Walmart, that used to be some off-brand supermarket, and now it's a Walmart. Like Walmart came in later.
It
wasn't built for them. And that one. But yeah, the Woodland Hills, nice area around it. Across the street is a mega church, but like a waspy mega church.
Sure.
And then you walk into that, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was dumbfounded just looking around the clientele. the amount of people on the motorized carts. Mm-hmm.
Children that are already morbidly obese.
Staggering. Where you're like, how the fuck? Are they all here?
Yeah.
Like, all of them for this area?
Is there just like a subdivision of hovels and these people just congregate there and they make it over to Walmart? Like, where the fuck did you come from?
Yeah, I remember going to one in Simi Valley and being like, yep, this fits.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
Exactly.
This is as close to real America as you can get in this general part of Los Angeles.
Sure.
But the Woodland Hills thing one definitely baffled me. Just loading up. I saw he probably weighed 350. I'm guessing the dude was probably somewhere between 25 and 45. No,
oh, you
really,
couldn't even tell?
Couldn't even tell.
Wow, that's like impressive.
That's how obese he was.
Yeah.
Had the type of fat head neck combo where it almost just went straight, bald head straight into shoulders. Where you're like, that's weird. Did the neck expand to the point where it just made a smooth bell curve into the shoulder? And it did, basically. And he had to be loading 150 cans of sugar-free Red Bull into his cart. I'm just like, what is this dude up to, man?
Well,
that's a lot of sugar-free Red Bull.
It's apparently suicide. He's just going to keep drinking these till his heart explodes.
I mean, you'd think he drank that much. You know, you'd maybe burn off a few neck calories.
I had a fucking woman one time on one of those carts, just so obese, like it's hanging out the sides.
Yeah.
So she starts, I'm halfway down the aisle, walking up towards the registers, and she rounds the corner on the register side and starts coming down, but she takes up the whole aisle and we lock eyes and she just gives me this look of, I'm not turning around.
Yeah, I ain't doing it.
You're like, oh, I'm already 2/3. Like, I have right away. I am more than you can see. And I have two, like a basket.
Make your move normal.
Just you see it and you're like, oh, you fucking bitch. And just have to turn around and go down another, like all the way back out. And I've got a basket full in my hand.
Someone, when you go to Walmart as a normal, you should always get one of those giant, big barreled red wiffle ball bats. And when you see an old lady like that or a fat lady like that on the cart, you just smack them in the face as hard as you can immediately.
Why? I would imagine then she lets out a shriek and all the other Walmarters answer in kind. And then I get fucking jumped by 50 of them.
Full on, you know, Walking Dead scenario.
Exactly.
And
I was
each one
invisible.
Each one of them gets that red whiff ball bat slapped to the face.
Yeah, but
do your part.
I have zero problem with that.
It's like whack-a-mole, but with disgusting mutants.
But there's like a couple thousand in here, and I'm afraid the integrity of the plastic of this bat is going to fail long before. I'll gore a few, as many as I can, but I will get overtaken by the horde.
You could use just a nice metal TPX bat if you want.
Why wouldn't I? Why would I opt for the plastic, the red plastic?
Comedically, it's way funnier to just
well, sure, especially
slap
on her.
People in the
and
faces.
If it's one of those bigger ones, there's like a thoom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you're pounding it, no problem on the first few, but I do need to get one of those gel cores. I get a slightly quicker swing, and I can take out more of these quicker.
God, just really despicable human beings. I would guess that we probably have a...
Us or them?
Not us. Never us. We're great people.
I'm just clarifying, because the way you trailed off there and you were looking longingly in the distance, I didn't know if that was some sort of self-reflective...
No, I was legitimately fully picturing the human being that I saw when I was
this
left at the Walmart. I was picturing the bell curve mutant... Cousin of Sloth from Goonies.
Great band name. Just, you know, we say that a lot, at least among the two of us as friends, let alone on the show.
Yeah.
But Bell Curve Mutant.
The Bell Curve Mutant.
It's pretty damn good. That is pretty damn good.
I could see them somewhere in Silver Lake jamming.
Oh, without a doubt. Echo Park.
Dude, I caught the Bell Curve Mutant last night. Those guys, honestly.
See, I even like without the, just Bell Curve Mutant.
Their new album is going to be spectacular. Exactly. If you get a chance to see him now, do it.
Yeah, it's median ugly. You're going to love it. What's up with all the math terms? I don't know, but they love it.
Bell curve mutant. He looked like
Quadratic Gimp. The follow-up album was awesome.
I'd see that band for sure.
Yeah, for hell yeah. Hey, who has a problem with that?
Truly absurd.
Oh, dude. I got a good t-shirt idea in my head from that. I don't know. I think we might have to form a band of some kind. I still own my guitar.
See, this works out.
Grab an instrument unless you want to sing.
I'll probably get back into the cello and just see where I can take it.
Is that what you did in you and Funston is the two-man team? I'm blanking on the name.
Triple Axoid?
Triple Axoid, thank you.
I actually served no actual purpose in that band at any point.
Well, vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely there, you know, filling time, you know.
Keeping the pulse of the streets. We've established that.
If I wasn't there, then it's just a solo act, and that thing needed to be a band.
A duo makes it a band? I don't know if necessarily that makes it a band. I mean, Black Keys,
Eli,
White Stripes.
Eli
sure.
was also in the band.
Okay.
As was the robot.
She's the roadie.
The robot Johnny Five from Short Circuit. We tore off one of his arms and made him the drummer. So
perfect.
Yeah.
He's still alive. And that's all he really cared about.
Still alive.
So, how he works the bass pedal and drums at the same time, you don't need to know the answers to questions.
He was on tracks, so it's not like he even had feet to work the bass pedal. But if anyone could figure it out, it was Johnny Five.
No, well, that's a coup disassemble, for you. Johnny Five.
It's a coup for you, so congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's a movie they'll probably reboot eventually.
Short Circuit.
Uh huh.
I saw today that Rick Moranis is coming back.
He's finally coming back.
Triumphant return.
I'm looking forward to actually.
In a Josh Gad headlined
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
reboot called Shrunk. Gonna be terrible.
Probably.
I would love to see Rick Moranis return to more things. So would I. Finest Canadian that ever lived.
Even if I didn't like the movie, like Spaceballs, I think sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But my only parts that I enjoy, he's in it.
Yeah.
Like Smoke Him If You Got Him.
Sure.
Just small little things like that. That's the only parts in that movie I enjoy. And that movie to me is such a dud.
I recall you telling me this unpopular opinion before.
What, you a big Spaceballs fan?
I couldn't be a bigger Spaceballs fan.
I find that hard to believe.
There is enough pun and parody in that thing to keep me revved up 24/7. Category six when I watch that thing.
Most of Mel Brooks, it doesn't resonate with me. But like Blazing Saddles to me, I don't think is great.
Yeah.
But I understand why in its moment, and people still hold it up. Like it makes all the sense in the world there. Young Frankenstein, I like.
Yeah.
You know, and there are moments like within all of them, and Blazing Saddles got a number of scenes
couple
that I think
good
are
scenes,
great.
Yeah.
And then like that farting scene to me is one of the worst in cinema history.
Dude, but they're eating beans though.
I know.
And
you get it?
They're farting though.
The
thing is,
they don't stop eating the beans?
At the time, no one had done an extended farting scene. It was groundbreaking.
Yeah, but
you know what would be funny? They do an all-lady reboot and just have a queefing scene.
So they're eating beans, and for some reason that makes them queef? There's something wrong with their lady parts then.
Dude,
that's
science
they're
works.
They're tooting out of their front butt.
Science works in mysterious ways. Oh,
okay. Spoken like a true Insane Clown Posse fan. Fucking magnets. What do they do? Dude. Miracles, man, all around me. I've watched that video way too many times. Way too many times. Just staring at it going, and there are people that gave this thing a thumbs up. Just like, wow, the stupidity. They're talking about, I love it. At one point in that, you know, the magnets and all that. And I can understand not having a grasp of science.
Sure.
But then the fat one starts talking about he was in San Francisco and a pelican ate my phone. And you're like, what does that have to do with miracles? What does that have to do with the mystery of life?
Duh.
A pelican just ate your phone.
Yeah, if you don't get it, then
I guess not.
That's on you, bro.
You're not a man of science. Shaggy Too Dope, I think, is the skinny one.
I don't know any of their names.
That's the only one I know because it's just so ridiculous.
He's pretty badass.
Yeah, I don't know the other ones. If it was said to me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what it is, because I obviously know Shaggy Too Dope. But I mean, I've watched that a lot of times. But the first time I saw the, because he does like a big act out with it, and then I feel bad for his kids at the end of it because they're in the makeup like him too. And they idolize their dad. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when I
luckiest kids alive, yeah, is what you're saying.
Their dad to me is, oh, it's just this ridiculous, you know, basically, you know, Faygo creation. Oh, fucking ridiculous.
The posse, bro. They get it.
They totally get it.
Talk about a solid fan base of good people.
Oh, fam. We're all fam. We all love each other. Get together. Nobody I trust more than the rest of these fam.
The only thing issue I really ever had with them was that it doesn't seem that insane to me. You know?
You'd like a little more?
I just feel like it's a totally makes sense clown posse, and that's what I would have called them.
How much money, legitimately, how much money would it take you to, because they have comics when they did those gatherings. I don't know if they still do, but they would have
the
like
Juggalo
a comedy
gatherings.
Night. Yeah. They'd have a comedy. They have separate tents and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there would be comics that come in due time.
I would perform at a Juggalo event for $40.
What's your real number? What is the real number where you'd have to fly to the middle of Illinois or wherever it is?
Yeah.
On some fucking
Ohio.
Yeah. The middle of nowhere and hang out with a bunch of people whacked out of their minds on fucking shitty soda and MDMA.
Yeah. How, all right, so I'm doing one show.
One show. You're coming in.
Flying
one show. It's a Thursday or Friday night. The main show of the weekend is like Saturday. It's what everybody's
sure.
building up to. So you're the fun party nights beforehand.
Right.
There might have been, I know they do lady wrestling, so it could have been like lady wrestling before you, and then boom, and it's like three comics, and you're all doing 20 to 30. We'll say that.
I mean, I would probably do it for $5,000. Realistically.
They
cover my expenses.
Flights and hotel.
Yeah. Well, I don't need a hotel because I'm just going to...
I'm going to
be tenting with the jugs, bro. Me and the aloes.
Well, look, you come out as fucking tornado. I think you got a good shot.
Decent shot.
$5,000? All right.
That's probably what I would take.
I mean, that's a realistic number, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's like if they called me, like, we'll give you $3,000 to come do it, I'd be like, fuck no. But if they said they'd give me $5,000 for one night, I would do it. I mean,
yeah.
I find all humans despicable. So, yeah, these people are a special breed of
just
terrible
a different type
pile
of
shit. But,
yeah, a different type of person that I don't regularly hang out with.
Yeah.
For a reason, because we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't give a shit if that's what you want to do. Go crazy. Have fun. Drink all the Faygo until your, you know, diabetic heart's delight, you know.
That's uncalled for, but yeah, I get
fine.
It.
It's fine. We all have our lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, the $5,000's a legit number. When you said three in my head, I'd have to balance it out.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, like, all right, 30 minutes, but it's, you know, I got to fly there.
Yeah.
And it's not just the 30 minutes because there's the hanging out before and then the show ends.
Yeah.
And even if you do have a hotel, it's going to be a while before you can get out of this place to get back to the hotel.
Yeah.
So you're going to be here for a while. So this 30 minutes turns into 3 to 4 hours.
Yep.
Easy. Could be a little longer. Yeah.
I'd do it for $5,000. I mean, I'm fairly desperate in general, but.
Five's a legit price.
Terrible people.
You might be, you should be able to get more though. But
I would hope. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying the bottom number that I would accept is $5,000. I'd want at least 10, but
yeah, well, it's something like that. Ten's legit.
Yeah,
because they have to have entertainment for all these people. They're making more than enough money, so $10,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to what they're taking home.
Yeah, they're making probably a couple $1,000,000 for the full weekend. So
if you set aside $250,000 for other entertainment,
yeah,
for all these people, like, it seems reasonable. So 10, you know, you a lot. Oh, we need to spend Thursday night, Friday night before we get to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tens in the ballpark. All right. Well, you know, anybody out there listening has got to hook up and juggle.
Let them know.
Rick's willing to do it for $5,000. I'm willing to think about it for $5,000.
No, I mean, just in general, with musicians and their terrible fans, it's tough for me. Like when that band that's popular now wanted me to MC their New Year's Eve show, and I was just like, maybe, what's it pay? And then they told me, and I'm like, no, not in a million years.
What band?
Portugal the Man.
Oh yeah, I've heard of them.
that I listened to like three of their songs. I'm like, this is fucking terrible. It sounds like it should be on a TV commercial. Like, that's their sound. But they're still super popular.
For the story, I would do it, something like that.
It was awful. What they were offering me was like, it was insulting.
Here in town?
No, in Oakland.
Okay.
And they said they would fly me up and give me a hotel room for the night. But then, like, I looked up where they were playing, how many tickets were sold, at what price. And I'm like, no, these dudes are making, even if they only get 50% of that cover charge, they're making a couple $100,000.
Yeah.
And there's like less than $1,000. I'm just like, I could say, like, if I was some single dude and I didn't care and it's like, yeah, I could probably get some fucking band leftovers.
To do New Year's at a club, you can make more than that.
Yeah.
So
it was definitely like, this dude hopefully thinks this is prestigious to get to come open for us.
Maybe they would have expected you to counter.
Cholo Batman. Oh, I countered. I came back and I'm like, yeah, I could do it for $5. And then they just never responded. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
There you go. Well, you made your move.
Yeah.
I did that once with like this baseball writers thing. They came down to, the lady that was doing the entertainment for it happened to be in La Jolla on a Thursday. And she's like, all right, well, you know, I would love to have you come and be the comic. And it was when I was like 3 years in. I had no business getting this.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what to ask for. So eventually she was like, hey, I need a number. You know, the job is yours. Just give me a number. And I can't even remember what I did. And I just never heard back.
Yeah.
I didn't think I said it that high because I was so young. I didn't know what a legitimate, but yeah. I obviously said it too high. Or maybe I said it too low. And they're like, he values his time so little, he must not be that good.
Right.
But she's the one that saw me at a show and was like, you're precisely what we want. Here's my email. Send me, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Send me a contract and tell me how much you want. Like, okay. Never heard back.
Never.
Although I've done other gigs where the pay was great and it was just hell.
Yeah.
Just hell. Do this corporate gig and like, this is, I got to do 30 in this. Man, fuck you. You're trudging through. It's like trench warfare. This fucking.
Yeah. I mean, I've had multiple people in the last couple of years come up to me. Oh man, you're so great. So amazing. Love for you to come do this party. And I'm like, no. Then it was good. Just like price wise, what would it take? That's not really my thing. I don't really think performing at a party is gonna be as great an experience as, you know, what you saw at a comedy club.
It's not.
Oh, but you know, it's gonna be like 40 of us. And it's like, yeah, it wouldn't be worth it. Just give me a number. What are we talking about? Probably $7,000. Okay, let me get back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. Just like, what's absurd enough to ask?
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like I'm just making a number up.
Yeah, like
$7,000. I figure we're just going to go with $5,000 again. That seems to be your go-to.
Yeah, but they might say yes to $5,000. These are gigs I don't want, so you got to go a little higher than that.
Yeah, true.
So that they're just like, what?
I've heard people tell tale of doing weddings and whatnot. I've never done that, thankfully. I did a nursing home once. It was when I was really early on, and it was one of my first paying gigs. And
yeah.
$25. And I was like, $25? Like, to do comedy? This is great. And it was 4 rows, and most of the people had, you know, oxygen masks on and shit. Just actively dying is how Robert put it.
Yeah.
And I just remember looking back, and there were two or three orderlies or nurses or whatever their title was, dying laughing at how awful an experience this was for all of us as we just... For 15 minutes, you tell a punchline, you look around, and you're like, oh my God, this is nothing. I got no response.
Unable to read your audience.
They don't have the energy left in their bones to lift their eyes make eye contact.
You could do it. It's really simple. You do an old folks home. You just go in there, strong racist right off the gate.
Well, I know that now.
Yeah, and then you just roll extra racist further, each time taking a little bit further. Your final joke is just screaming racial slurs, and you get a standing ovation from people who haven't walked in a decade.
Yep. I did a methadone clinic once.
That's fun.
That was actually a really fun show, just because they were so starved for entertainment, they didn't want to, it was kind of, they did a once a week,
yeah,
some sort of social something, just so they didn't go to bars and didn't go out and go to their old hangouts and get back into the bad situations. So they were so happy to have anything. And I walked out of there going, I would do that again. I was, you know.
It's methadone, you mean?
Methadone and this show. Sure.
I did a Narcotics Anonymous show. I used to do all these terrible shows around L.A. with Wheels. And much like a couple of other random gigs I did with them, the person who booked the gig came up to me afterwards like, hey, would you ever do a show without Wheels? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. He said, hey, I want you to headline this Narcotics Anonymous show I'm doing. I was like, what's the deal with that? He's like, well, I'm actually a recovering drug user. I go to NA and I set up comedy shows twice a year. It'd probably be like 200-300 people. I'm like, damn, I was probably like 22 or 23. I'm just like, hell yeah. So he gave me, I think, $200, drive down somewhere in Orange County. I'm just like, all right. So I go down there and it's me and Bob was the guy's name. He would always open the show, just this terrible, hacky comic.
Yeah, but, you know,
yeah,
he put the whole thing
on. He puts it together, so you're just like, all right.
Yeah.
And then some comic I never had heard of and never saw again, Vicky Barbalak and me. That was the lineup. And before the show starts, like, only thing, just no drug stuff. I'm just like, no drug stuff? And I didn't have a bunch of drug stuff. I had probably a couple jokes, but I just remember being like, that seems like a weird thing to not talk about at a Narcotics Anonymous comedy show.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you've gone through it, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe don't, because you got, but it does seem strange.
Yeah. And so that Bob guy went out, and it's literally like you could hear people coughing throughout the set, just unhappy. And then the opening comic went out, just bombed so hard. I remember Vicky being like, what do you think? Should we just leave now so we don't have to do this? I'm like, I'm thinking about it. And Vicky went out and she did okay, but they just weren't into it.
Yeah.
And so I just went out and just opened strong. How much funnier would those comics have been if we were all on a bunch of fucking coke and then just a bunch of cheering? People yelling.
I take it you didn't get booked back.
I did not. I got my money. I ended up doing great. I definitely did about 15 minutes of drug material.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. Just pointing at getting people in the crowd.
It's why we all know each other in this room.
Yeah. That's why we're all here.
It's the only reason. You have nothing else in common.
There was a lot of crowd working with this. Who has the most fucked up story? Who's got a really good fucked up story?
Yeah, they'll come with your half-assed. Yeah. That's perfect. Well, that's reading the room.
Yeah, and they were loving it. Different people were saying stuff, you know, and then ripping them. You know, that's pretty bullshit, right? Like, that's not really even that impressive of a story. You fucking OD'd and you woke up in the hospital. Oh, many of us haven't ever heard that story? I'm talking about a good story. Like, you did too much coke. You ended up murdering the hooker you were with. Then you had sex with her. Then you didn't pay for it. Like, triple threat crimes. People, oh, yeah, yeah.
I still like the idea. Then you paid for it, though. You went classy on that aspect. You murdered her. But you still took advantage of the services, and you paid her because you're a fucking gentleman.
You felt guilty after you fucked the corpse.
Well, you're not going to, yeah, exactly. You're not going to steal.
What if she has kids, you know?
You got to take care of these things.
So you throw her the $50.
She did her job. She deserves her pay.
Exactly right. Yeah, and then I remember getting off, and that Bob guy giving me a look like, not cool, man. I'm like, what, that I did well?
Exactly. That they loved it? That I could be, I was easily their favorite comic of the evening?
Yeah, and next time, book me with Wheels, because you know I don't work well without my fucking leader.
Okay? Well, my wrangler, Wheels.
Yeah, no, actually, that's pretty crazy, because, you know, I'm actually addicted to drugs right now.
Okay, Wheels.
I invented drugs.
I know you did, dude.
I know him through you and Danish, just doing the impression. I've met him twice.
Yeah.
Three times. But we've had no interactions to speak of.
Legend.
It's just in passing.
Dice called me a couple weeks ago after my Comedy Central thing aired. He's just like, wanted to let you know. Really enjoyed the set. Thought it was funny. Your interview with Bill was great. I loved the stories you told about going on the road with me. Loved the story about Wheels. It's like, okay. sounds good.
It's nice that he reached out.
Yeah.
You know, Dice is a bit of a recluse.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny hearing the story and was just like, that's Wheels for sure. He's talking about Wheels.
Which part? I saw that when you're talking about OJ.
Yeah, that was the one they released online. The one on Comedy Central that they included for whatever reason out of our 15-minute conversation was Burr said, what's the worst comedy advice you ever got? It was like part of their stock questions that they have them ask. And I told them about Wheels telling me in Alaska that you could just do other people's material, no problem.
Well, you're on the road.
You're on the road.
Yeah.
And he's just like, wow, that's terrible. I go, yeah. You know, I decided to not do other people's material as he suggested, and I just bombed through a set and then had to sit and watch him bomb doing Sebastian Maniscalco's material.
Yeah.
He's like, is he even Italian? I go, yeah, he's Italian. He's like, well, at least he's doing the right concept.
He's stealing from the right person.
Yeah. I go, but Sebastian's stuff is so personal and based solely on his character.
Yeah, you have to be able to pull off.
You can't do the same jokes without having the cadence.
Honestly, who's going
to
get away with a punchline? Just this guy?
This guy.
Yeah. That's it. And suddenly, anybody that's a Sebastian fan is listening to this, they can conjure whatever joke and put a smile on their face.
Yeah.
Because you just see the look of disgust on Sebastian's face.
Well, what's the deal with Roth Dreyfus? You know? Irregular.
Ross Dress for Less. Looked like downtown Beirut.
So terrible. Just looking back. So badly wish I was experiencing that now so I could just be like, dude, you're a fucking pile of shit. But 23-year-old me was just an absolute goddamn coward.
Well, we all have to learn from where we were, you know, previously.
Yeah. And that's why I'm here today, the new lead singer of Bell Curve Mutant, on top of the fucking world.
I think before we get out of here, you give people some dates on where you're going to be.
I'll be touring with Tweedledee. We're going to be at the Burndown Del Taco up in Lancaster.
Beautiful. That Echoplex gig still on the horizon?
Yep, still got that perfect going on. We're going to be doing a midnight showcase at Hal's Basement. That's Laughlin, Nevada.
Chatsworth? Oh, Laughlin. Beautiful.
Yeah. Riverside. Got a couple of gigs lined up at Jerry's Spaghetti Bazoo.
Beautiful. Well, I hope all those pay well. And
$5,000 a piece, bro.
You know the people are coming out. So it's going to be a hell of a good time.
We don't even have to sell tickets. These things sell so fast.
No. Where can people find you?
I'm on all the social medias, MySpace, Friendster.
I still get an email every couple months from MySpace. So-and-so changed their top 8. I don't know who that is, and I don't know why you email me. I don't even know my login anymore.
Yeah, I haven't been on in a decade at least.
At least.
I'm on LinkedIn. You're going to have to look for me under post-production house runner, though, because that was the last time I updated my...
Just search Human Tornado, though. It's the only one with post-production.
Cat 5 also probably will pull
probably
me up.
Will work. Will work, yeah, without a doubt.
But yeah, I'm on all the social medias, just at Rick Ingram.
You can follow me anywhere, at Matt Nost. I think that's it for week 2 of Embrace the Hate.
The deuce.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to title this one, but it'll be pretty... Actually, Bell Curve Mutant.
It's probably the
it's
only
gotta
way
be the
to
title
go.
Of
yeah,
it. It's such
the only
a
way to
it's
go.
Quality. Bell Curve Mutant.
No way anyone turns that down either.
No, that was the delay on the first one. The title didn't apparently work, and there's the squeak in my chair. That is it for this week for Embrace the Hate.
Hate, 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 hate.